In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning at verse 1, and is to be found on page 1153 in the Church Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. And now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks that we are part of a loving body of Christians. We give thanks for your word. Give us open ears and hearts to hear what you want to say to each one of us this morning. Amen. You might find it helpful to have the passage open in front of you from the Bibles, or you should have it printed on the sheet in the notice sheet. It'd be helpful to have it in front because I'm not sure the slides are going to work this morning. So how many of you recognise that passage from 1 Corinthians 13? It's often read at weddings. You may even have had it at your own wedding. It is a beautiful passage that appears to sum up romantic love in just 13 verses. It covers everything you need as you start out on your married life. A reminder that without love, you are nothing. Followed by a description of what love is and what it isn't. And that helps you as you start out on this new journey with your spouse. And finally, a reminder that love sits alongside faith and hope. But of these three, love is the greatest. So if this passage is all about romantic love, why are we looking at it today when we're looking at us, St. Patrick's, as a loving body? Well, as I hope you will see, this passage is so much more than about romantic love. It's a wonderful passage that explains the broader meaning of love. We'll use it as we look to understand what it means to be part of the body of Christ here at St. Patrick's, but also in the wider world, as we're looking at our series on A Body Fit for Service. Through this passage, we'll see what it is to be a loving community of Christians. And we'll explore the challenges it gives us to examine our attitudes to each other and to change our lives to pursue a costly love. Christian love is so much more than that heart-pounding, head-filled, gushing romantic love you feel that people associate with this passage. It's a love that we are called to express and show as we come together as Christians. It's a love we are called to show and express to Christians and others and the outside world. Now, Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthians because they were not living as Christians should be. At the beginning of our passage, Paul challenges the attitude of the Corinthians, the way they were using their spiritual gifts. These gifts, given by God, should be used to bring him glory. But instead, the Corinthians were using their gifts for bragging rights, to achieve their own aims and wants. They were not using them to serve God or each other. Paul points out that the outward manifestations of our gifts are worth nothing if they are not motivated by love. The Corinthians' attitudes were all wrong. And if we want to live a loving life, we need to examine our own attitude. If we use our gifts for our own means, our own self-satisfaction, for our own gain, those gifts cannot bring God glory. One commentary I read suggested reading this passage, replacing the word love with Jesus. And when I did that, these three verses just came to life in a way that they hadn't before. It was just really exciting. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have Jesus, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have Jesus, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have Jesus, I gain nothing. Without Jesus, we are nothing. We can make a noise, we can profess to have faith, and we can be good people doing nice things for others. But without love, without Jesus, it's pointless. That can be hard to hear. But this isn't about selling Christianity in a way that people want to hear. It's about the truth. The truth that being a good person, that claiming to know Jesus, but not really living a life that he would want us to, is not really enough. If we claim Jesus is Lord, then it makes sense. Without Jesus, my life is nothing. He is Lord, and I want to live my life the way he would want me to. And that means living a life of love. Not that girly, fluffy, sweet kind of love, so don't panic. I mean a life of love that Jesus led. And that can be a hard life to lead. But what kind of life is that? Well, as always, the Bible helps us here. And so we're going to have a look at verses 4-8 in our passage, where Paul shows us what love is like, what it is and what it is not. He gives us a model for what a loving body is. And it's quite a challenge for us. Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Now just look at that list. There is very little in there that are just about feelings. It's about actions and doing things. I don't know about you, but I look at that list and get quite challenged by it. How many of those characteristics do I display to others? To friends, to work colleagues, to my family, to you all here at St. Pat's? Am I kind, patient, not boastful? Or am I easily angered and self-seeking? Please don't feel you have to answer that. I know which I'd like to be, but I'm not perfect, and I so often get it wrong. And perhaps you feel the same. Do you find it's easier to be kind and patient with some people more than others? I know I do. But if we are to be a loving body, we need to try and treat everyone the same. If you see someone on their own, go and speak to them. Maybe not sit in the same seat every week. If you see a need, go and help. Now, I'm not saying we don't do that here at St. Pat's. I think we are an incredibly loving body, and I felt it from the first week that I came here. But as David said last week about this series, it's good just to be reminded. Just be reminded and challenged again and again to demonstrate God's love for us in the way we treat others. Christian love is unconditional love. It is a love that seeks no reward. It is a love that challenges us to change the way we live. It is active. It's about head and heart. It's about doing as well as feeling, just as these verses show us. If we claim to love Jesus, then we have to act. We have to respond to the way he calls us. In John chapter 21, verses 14 and 15, Jesus asks Peter if he truly loves him. And Peter, of course, responds, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus responds, "Feed my sheep." Loving Jesus is not just a response in our heart. It should also be a response in how we live, in what we do. We should look to show love in practical ways. Feed my sheep, both physically and spiritually. In James chapter 2, verses 14 to 26, it's one of my favourite passages in the Bible. Verse 14 says, "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." I first really studied this chapter of James on a Christian fellowship weekend when I was a student. It was a real light bulb moment for me. And it was when I made my real commitment to follow Jesus and actually let him change my life. What this passage showed me was that I had faith, but I was doing nothing with it. Loving Jesus in my heart was simply not enough. I had to do something with that faith. I had to show Christian love to others. And that's where the passage today is so very helpful. It really challenges us to examine our hearts and how we live if we profess to be Christians. It reminds us that if we want to be fit for service, we need to be a loving body. A body that is not only loving just in attitude, but loving in how it acts too. We need to put our faith into action. We need to not to say we are Christians, but live lives that show that. But living as a loving body isn't easy. It's costly. Sometimes being kind and patient can be hard work. It takes up our time, and in our busy lives we can resent that and get angry. We'd rather do something else. We'd rather be at home or out with our families and friends. Living as a loving body is hard. It means being self-forgetting. And that can be really difficult when people hurt us or let us down. They may have said something that upsets us, or say they would do something to help and then don't. But we are called to forget that, to keep no record of what has happened, but to love that person regardless. That all sounds very difficult, doesn't it? But what is great is that living as a loving body is enduring. Love never fails. It is always there, and it always perseveres. Even in the hardest of times, times when we may feel alone, angry, or upset, love is there. In the shape of our friends here at St. Pat's who offer love and support to each other when we need it. But more importantly, when we look to Jesus, to see what it is to live a life of love. I'm just going to take those verses 4 to 8 again and replace the word love with Jesus. Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. Jesus does not envy, does not boast, is not proud, is not rude, is not self-seeking, is not easily angered, keeps no record of wrongs. Jesus does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Jesus always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Jesus never fails. How exciting is that? Jesus' life was one of love. He was not afraid to show love to friends or to strangers. He is the perfect example of Christian love. Always there, always meeting a need, always without seeking reward. And it came with the ultimate cost. He loved us so much that he died on the cross and was resurrected for us and for our sins. That gracious gift so freely given. So how do we respond to that? Are we afraid to show love? Afraid of what it will cost us? Are there times when you would rather walk away than show love because you're afraid of what you will have to give up? Maybe you're afraid to offer to help do children's work on a Sunday because you think you'll be signed up for life and never get to a service again. Or afraid to go on the cake rota for lifetime because you're going to be making cakes every week. Or afraid to go and chat with someone who is on their own because you're worried you're going to be stuck there for what feels like hours listening to their woes. But if we look to Jesus' example, we will see that these are such small things to do. Jesus wasn't afraid to give up everything for us. He shows us the ultimate cost of living a loving life. He gave his life for us. And if we know that and believe it in all our hearts, it should spur us on to try and live a loving life ourselves. We know that we will not be called to make the same sacrifice Jesus made for us. And that should encourage us even more to do what we can to live a loving life. For we know what is to come. We know that one day we will see the one who is love face to face. Right at the end of the passage, Paul writes, "But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known." Paul is referring back to the start of the passage. He's pointing out that those spiritual gifts we have will cease. We'll have no need for them. What we have today is only a glimpse of what is to come. Our knowledge and understanding is like that of a child. We only know part of the story. It's like looking in a mirror. Now imagine, not mirrors that we have today. Mirrors in Paul's time of writing were just polished metal. Poor reflections indeed. But when Jesus comes again, we will see him face to face and we will be complete. Faith, hope, and love remain. But the greatest of these is love. Because love never fails. Why? Because, as we're told in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, God is love. And God showed his love among us by sending his Son to die on the cross for us. But why should we live as a loving body? Do we really have to love everyone? Well, I'm afraid so. In John 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." It's quite a challenge for us, isn't it? Jesus tells us to love one another just as he loved us. And that means we're called to love sacrificially. And the passage in 1 Corinthians gives us ways to do that. It reminds us that to love one another is about having a right attitude, loving in a way that brings God glory, not for our own selfish ends. Loving in a way that uses God's gifts that he's given each one of us to glorify him. Loving in a way that may cost us, but that we do with a joyful heart anyway. If we live our lives in love, we are showing people Christian love in action. We're mirroring how Jesus told us to live. We are that loving body of Christians. We should be encouraged. St. Pat's is a loving body. Now, for some of you, you might be hearing this challenge for the first time, and I hope you get excited by it. Maybe you want to respond. Maybe you want to think about how you can serve here. For those of us who've been Christians for a long time, I hope it's challenged you too. In preparing this talk, it's been really good for me to be reminded of that first passage that stirred me into action so long ago. That realisation that my faith is so much more than just knowing Jesus. It's about putting that faith into action, showing people around me, both here and in the outside world, what Christian love is. Trying to live up to those challenges that Paul gives us in this passage. As you leave this morning, there's a handout for you to pick up. It's this little green piece of paper. And it's actually the passage in a Wordle. Some of you may know what a Wordle is. It's a wonderful website to go to. And you can put in any words you like, any text you like, and it will make it into a diagram like this. The bigger the word, the more often it appears. And what it does is it loses all the little words and the common words. So you've just got the main words from the passage of 1 Corinthians 13. What I'd like you to do is take that with you this morning and just use it over the coming days and weeks just to look through the characteristics it lists. Think of the people here at St. Patrick's and beyond. Maybe say sorry for times when your love has fallen short. And think about how God might be calling you to show love here at St. Patrick's, but also amongst your friends, your families, work colleagues. Use this new year to maybe be a start to be part of the loving body of Christians here and across the world. Amen.